I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What up, yo? What a pleasure to be with you on this Wednesday afternoon.
Gorgeous app.
Gorgeous app.
Hello, everyone.
I have had the longest day of my life. I got up at 7 o'clock this morning. I never do that.
What?
I
7 a.m.?
No.
As in 0700 hours?
Don't know if I can make it to the end of the program.
Wow.
I had a doctor appointment. I went in and got a bunch of errands done and just came into town and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Then my other doctor called and said, we have your cortisone injection.
Okay, good.
And I go, oh my gosh, can I come right now? So I flew like a maniac way south to my doctor's office.
Okay.
And literally walked in, went back there. He walks in with this gigantic needle and I'm like, is this going to hurt? And he goes, not me.
Was he like flicking the needle as he was walking up to you?
Hilarious. Oh my God. I love my doctor. And you know, when you get a shot, it's the moment leading up to the shot that's the worst. It's never the shot. So I'm standing there just going, oh God. And he's like, you know, he's putting the antiseptic on it.
I'm not a shot fan either.
Well, it's more the buildup of what is it going to really, because I knew it was going all the way into my arm and my rotator cuff or somewhere around there. So when I said, is it going to hurt? And he goes, not me. Then I start laughing and he's like, relax, stop laughing.
Yeah, you're moving too much.
But I would rather than say like, here we go. And instead he just jabs it and it doesn't hurt at all. I didn't really feel a thing.
Really?
Yeah, nope.
Huh.
He massaged it a while and like said, move your arm around. All right, you're good. And then here's what's interesting. I said, so now that I'm partially torn, you know, the cuff is partially torn. Is that always torn? And he goes, oh no, it'll grow back.
But you know how it will grow back?
If I stop
using it.
But my doctor's also a golfer. And he goes, I will tell you, this shot is going to make it feel way better. My pickleball season ended this week. And he said, that's good. Let's give that a rest. He said, you can still play golf. I wouldn't play 5 days in a row. Okay. But it will heal if you just rest it a little bit. Plus the cortisone shot. He said, you're going to feel great.
Okay.
Modern medicine's pretty great, isn't it?
You know, the
tear can heal itself.
Yeah, if you don't use it.
Well, I'm not going to be lifting heavy things. And I've actually gotten pretty good at, you have to train yourself to do this because I'm obviously right hand dominant. I've gotten pretty good at putting my purse on my left shoulder, opening the car door with my left hand. Little stupid things that you do every single day. You don't realize how much you use that muscular structure.
The cortisone shot is only a numbing effect. That's all it does, is it numbs your shoulder.
Correct. So I'm not going to overdo it. That's what I'm telling you. I'm going to do everything I've been told to do.
Why are you rubbing it?
Because I'm just curious if it hurts, but it doesn't. I feel fine.
You sure?
Yeah, I feel good.
Okay.
How was your day?
My day?
Yeah.
It was great. Went to the gym. Sat on the front porch and drank coffee.
What in a blue Stafford robe.
No, I was in my regular clothes.
What are we doing for the Olympics?
What do you mean, what are we doing?
Well, I feel like we should be doing something on Friday as a show to commemorate the start of the Olympics. I'm now getting actually giddy to watch the games.
Can we get Carrie on the phone?
She's over there right now. See if she'll answer. I just talked to her earlier. Here's why. Last night I went home, flipped around on Netflix and came across this.
You didn't finish Land of Bad, did you?
No. Came across the Simone Biles documentary.
It's good.
Oh my. Have you seen it?
I saw a little bit of it. Yeah.
It is so good. And it goes back to the last Olympics. Remember, she got the twisties and she came off and just said, I can't perform at this level and I can't perform at the Olympics.
Was that in China?
I believe so.
Or was that that was the winter.
It was Taiwan, I think, or Beijing or something. Anyway. Her interviews, and she lays it all out there. It's, you know, they interview her husband, who did not realize how famous she was when they met. They interview other former gymnasts who talk about the way we treated our young you know, 14, 15-year-old athletes back in the 80s, those right. gymnastics teams. Right. Run, do not walk, to watch the Simone Biles Netflix documentary. Yeah. I think it's more than one part. I fell asleep and turned the TV off. I will watch every single ounce of it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Is she not available?
It is cocktail hour over there, and she did not answer.
Would you?
No, you kidding me?
People are at Simone Biles documentary. What's it called? It's something like The Life of Simone Biles.
I'll look it up.
It's called, Biles Rising is what it's called. Simone Biles Rising. And a ton of people have written about it in the last 48 hours. Simone Biles Rising, an elegantly paced and vulnerable portrait of a gymnast. And you know, I've always said, Scott, if you want your daughter to marry a prince or your child to grow up an Olympic athlete, you are wishing for the wrong things in life. You would not wish that life on anybody, and I'm being serious. Not the Wheaties box, not the glory, not the gold medals, the toll that it takes on their emotional health, on their psyche, on their bodies. And then you know this, very, very, very few of them are able to make a living, you know, on the speaking circuit or commentating after they are done.
Why?
Because there's thousands and thousands of Olympic athletes. Name five. Go.
Simone Biles.
One.
Michael Phelps.
Two.
You got me on the spot here.
You're proving my point.
Muhammad Ali.
Dead.
Well, he's still an Olympic athlete.
My point is, you can only name a handful. And that other documentary, The Weight of Gold, shows you that all of those athletes whose bodies are now wrecked, who had a 20-year gap in employment.
What's her face from 84?
Right. They now are working the smoothie machine at a local gym. And if you win silver or bronze.
Forget about it.
No one remembers or cares who you are. I mean, it really is a heartbreaking, shocking documentary. And you will come away from it thinking, why would anyone want to be an Olympic athlete?
Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding.
Wouldn't want to be either one of those.
Gotcha.
Why?
Oh, wow.
My point is, what are they doing today? I mean, well, the Tonya Harding one answers that was facetious. But, you know, I think very few of them are making millions of dollars on the speaking circuit if your name is not Michael Phelps or Simone Biles. You're just not that bankable once your career is over. All of the athletes will tell you that.
You don't think so?
One of the athletes that is broke is Apollo Ono.
Do you remember him, the ice skater?
The speed skater.
Yeah.
He was on the Wheaties box. Everybody was cheering
He's
for him.
He's broke?
They're all broke, Scott. And their bodies are broken. I don't mean to bring everybody down, you know, before the Olympics, but man, you don't want your kid ending up at that level. You just don't.
But how do you not take that level of exceptionalism and turn that focus towards something else?
If some of them do. If you can speak, if you can
I'm not talking about even in your sport. If you are the 1% of the 1%, you can take that discipline and that mindset and go sell houses and become the 1%.
Or coach.
I don't know that there's that much money in coaching the way you think that there is.
Huh.
Anyway, both documentaries, Run, Do Not Walk, The Weight of Gold, it is a 10 out of 10, and the Simone Biles documentary, 10 out of 10.
Which is Simone Biles Rising,
yep.
Right? Okay. All right. And it starts on Friday?
Somebody says they think she might be the best Olympic athlete. I need to think about the quote.
Now they said Michael Phelps was.
But when you look at what she is able to do with her body, okay, in the air, backwards, upside down, that she might be the most prolific, accomplished athlete of all time when you really look at what it is she's able to do.
Why can I not remember the name of the woman from 1984?
Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton. Thank you.
Is she the one who was crowdfunding for...
Broke.
Mm-hmm.
Medical expenses.
Got sick. Crowdfunding for medical expenses. Just proved my point again. There's no money in it when you're done.
You're right. But you remember... After the 84 Olympics, she was America's darling.
She was America's darling during the Olympics.
Yes.
Little red, white, and blue flag on her leotard.
Oh my gosh, everybody loved Mary Lou Retton. They loved her.
Now, is there also an element, and I, you know, I understand that they're put in a weird situation coming out with nothing when they're no longer an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
But is there an element of them living this highfalutin life
No.
while they are an Olympic
so
athlete?
While they're training, Sam, their per diem for like food is like $7. That whole weight of gold goes through all of that, where you think they're all making all this money. They also are not able to have traditional employment because your full-time job as an Olympic athlete is to train.
Well, not anymore. Keep this in mind. And you were telling me to name some Olympic athletes. I just thought of several more.
Okay.
Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Chris Mullin,
well,
Chris
Yes,
Lager.
But those are all already NBA million and billionaires.
So, but for some of them, they are allowed to carry on. Like, baseball players are allowed to now play in the Olympics.
The downhill slalom.
Lindsey Vonn.
Okay. Think of all the Olympic sports there are, Scott. You cannot point out to an NBA star and say they're all going to do that. The NBA stars were already millionaires. That's the difference.
But is there not like a tour that these athletes go on after they get back from the Olympics?
Like world championships?
There's ice skating tours where you go out. And,
right.
I mean, Simone is currently worth $16 million.
Which, and she's an outlier, which will
pay. A lot of that is endorsements.
Will pay some of your bills, Scott, but like that's not going to. It's just not. I mean, everyone wants to think and then watch that documentary and you're like, oh, wow.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Great point on the text line. Can you name one male U.S. gymnast? The answer is no.
Not currently, no.
Nope. It's always the women. Why is that?
I don't know. I've always been fascinated by the pommel horse and how they do that thing with their hands and their feet and their hands and their feet and the legs and their feet and the hands.
What?
And the, you know. Do you know how hard it would be?
The pommel horse?
To put your hands on those things and then they fly around with their legs like a helicopter while moving their hands around that thing. It's incredible.
Is it called the pommel horse?
I've never heard that, but
pretty sure that's what it's called. Then the men take the rings and do that Jesus thing.
Oh, my God.
How do you do that? Without
the
tearing
Jesus
both of your
thing.
Rotator cuffs?
It is called a pommel horse. Point Dana.
You know, it's got the two handlebars
no, I know what
on
you're
the
talking
top
about.
Of it.
How come the women don't do the pommel horse?
They do the vault. They go flying through the air and do flippy, flippy, flippy.
How come the women don't do the Jesus thing?
I don't know. The
do
women
do
the uneven parallel bars, but the boys have even parallel bars. I always thought it was funny they call them uneven parallel bars. Isn't that?
Well, they're parallel to the floor, but they're uneven.
No.
Yes?
Something is either parallel or it's not. It's not uneven and parallel.
It's parallel to the floor.
Everything is parallel to the floor.
Not everything.
Well, parallel but at different heights is just way too long of a name.
A basketball net is not parallel to the floor.
Are you really going to fight with me over this? The men's parallel bars are parallel.
Correct.
The poles at Late Night at the Fog a couple years ago weren't parallel to the floor.
Amen to that.
Perpendicular.
Perpendicular.
The women's legs were. The poles were perpendicular.
Okay. All right. All right, guys.
All right, moving on. We're not looking to bring everybody down with this topic, but I do want to know, in this day and age where everyone has a Facebook friend or somebody out there who looks after you, how does this happen? And it comes to us from our friends over at Fox 4. There is a local funeral home in search of family or friends of a 99-year-old Grandview woman. She died, Scott, more than a month ago. And apparently did not have any heirs in her life or friends or acquaintances who have realized that she has passed, okay? One Kansas City Metro funeral home is doing all they can to give the 99-year-old woman a proper home-going celebration. But with no family, the task has become a challenge and the clock is ticking. For nearly 30 years, 99-year-old Catherine Shirley called the Life Care Center of Grandview home. Her social worker describes her as kind, a woman of God who took care of herself, and it was that place where the workers over the years sort of became her family, as the ones who were blood-related faded away for one reason or another. She then passes away, and A funeral home has said they are willing to honor her wishes and give her a proper burial. But without anyone coming forward, she is basically a ward of the state. She is now a deceased ward of the state.
Okay.
They cannot find anyone who knows her. No next of kin. But we want to honor what she wants with her legacy. She even knew, by the way, through the funeral home, she had one of those prepaid things, the casket she wanted and the flowers she wanted. And the funeral home says they're going to accommodate that. But apparently you need somebody to step forward.
Why?
I don't know.
Why not just, no offense to, what's her name again?
Last name is Shirley.
Okay.
First name, Catherine with a
Catherine,
K.
Catherine. Why not just put Catherine in the ground? Why does there have to be some elaborate funeral procession or ceremony?
Don't you have to have somebody to say a few words? I know she lived a beautiful, decent life. How is it that in this day and age, someone can just pass peacefully and the state's like, we need someone to come, like, take the body?
She had no husband, right?
Correct.
It's presumed she either didn't have children, or if she did, they died before her.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Fair.
Okay. If she did have children, they didn't have children. Otherwise, there would be grandchildren.
Fair.
At 99, she obviously didn't have any friends.
Who were probably still living. I understand what you're saying.
So maybe her friends all preceded her in death. Do you force people to show up to a funeral for somebody they don't know?
No, but shouldn't everybody have somebody? That's my sunny disposition coming out.
Maybe they had broken relationships with their mother. Maybe she does have children out there and they just didn't want anything to do with her for the last 30 years.
Maybe she's not as great as you think she is.
Oh my God, are you going to besmirch the memory of a deceased 99-year-old woman lived through the civil rights era, by the way?
Is she black?
It doesn't say, but it does mention that she was a former secretary who battled through the civil rights era. Oh, yes. Times where she couldn't vote and in the end got to see what progress looked like. So I'm assuming
she's black.
Assuming. Right. The point is, I don't think this is on her. I think that because of her age, most of her friends probably preceded her in death.
I don't disagree with you. What I'm saying is, why not just honor her wishes? Do you force people to show up for a funeral for somebody that they don't know?
Okay. We pull over in traffic for a funeral procession out of respect, or at least you're supposed to. I don't know those people. I'm late to work. Don't we all have
they have the right of way.
But don't we all have some built-in, innate
empathy
for our dead?
So when you pull over for a funeral procession, do you get in line at the end and go to the funeral?
No, that would be weird.
Really? So you don't think it would be weird to go to her funeral? You don't know her.
We do this for veterans. If there's no one to be there when a veteran passes.
That is different, and you know
you
it.
You know that there are people that will step up and say, I will be there pay respects.
That is different, and you know
we
it.
Don't know what she battled in her life.
I don't know what anybody battles in their life.
Great point from the text line. Where were the staffers that they said grew to become her family?
I think the staffers would be there, but I think before they check all these boxes, they have to make sure there is no next of kin. I think legally you have to make sure, don't you?
I think we've pretty much made sure. Nobody came forward.
It's only been 4 weeks. How long do you give it? Phones are ringing.
If the funeral procession is on a highway, do you still have to pull over?
No. Absolutely not. And if it's a dignitary or something big, they shut the highway down.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Good, because I drove past one the other day.
You drove past one?
On the highway.
Yeah. I don't think
you drive past it.
They were going like 35.
I think you let them pass you.
At 35 miles an hour?
Speed limit's 65.
I'm sorry, I ain't getting rear-ended by a semi. I'm with Sam on this one. Now, I don't think you drive by and honk and go, see you, suckers!
Oh, my God.
But I don't think you slow down to 35 and join in.
What is wrong with you?
You want me to drive 35 on a highway?
I don't think you pass a funeral procession.
I ain't driving 35 on a highway, which means you're passing.
Okay.
You could just give the sign of the cross as you fly by.
I did go to the far left lane, and I did give the sign of the cross as I passed the hearse.
Thank you, Sam.
Did you really?
I did, I promise.
I don't believe you.
Would I lie about that?
Yes.
What?
I wouldn't. I would give the sign of the cross.
There were actually two hearses. I did the sign of the cross twice.
You passed two dead people?
There were two hearses in the same procession.
Two dead people at the same time?
It was an odd sight to
me.
It
was like a rush to get them into the ground?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to Jim in Topeka. Jim, good afternoon. Hello, my friend.
Good afternoon. Well, I've escaped from house arrest. I just got off of surgery and I'm on the rebuild.
Well, I hope you're doing all right, buddy.
Doing halfway decent.
Good.
About
good.
Funeral processions and traffic around them. In my time, and what would have been expected of me would have been at a minimum pull off and stop if you've seen the procession coming. If you'd have been going the same direction, you would have slowed down. And if you would have needed to, you'd have turned your headlights on and joined the procession. You would have not ever passed it, or everybody that you possibly could think of, if they saw you, would have given you 14 kinds of static.
Yeah, you'd be shamed for it.
The only thing that's happened now is we are so self-absorbed and so that I'm important that we forget some of these things that we were taught growing up. So take care, my friend.
All right, Jim. Be well. Let me ask you a question. Why do we care so much about what happens to us after we're dead?
Ooh. Well,
you're dead.
Wait a minute. In her case, I will argue strongly for her wishes to be honored, because she prepaid for the flowers and the casket and she picked out the music she wanted, you know. And so to me, she pre-planned that. It's only the right thing to do to then provide that even in death for her.
I agree, but put her in the ground as she wished. But who do you get to go to a funeral if that person doesn't have anyone?
Right. No, I know. It's sad and awkward to think about, isn't it? I mean, I would like to think a couple of people would show up.
I would show up.
Oh, I'll be speaking.
The line to speak will be long.
Would you speak at my funeral?
Yes. I just assumed I would speak at your funeral.
Sam?
Absolutely.
Did you see Shannon Doherty right before her death in a podcast said there was a list, and it was not a small list, of people she did not want coming to her funeral?
Really?
She knew she was dying, and she said, look, there have been
like whom
hurtful things said and done over the years. People in the industry, you know who you are. Do not show up at my funeral shed a tear for me so that you can pose for a selfie and say, rest in peace, I don't want you there. And I thought that was like, damn.
Like Tori Spelling?
I assume none of those girls ended up getting along in the end. In fact, I think Tori Spelling had her dad fire Shannon Doherty off that show.
You know, it was weird. I actually thought about this morning, and it was a morbid thought. It was a horribly morbid thought. And I thought, you know, when the day comes that I die, and, you know, maybe hopefully it's 30 years from now, you know, I'll be like 83 or whatever. Who do I not want at my funeral?
It's a lot easier to list who you want than who you do not want, I think. If we're really all going to, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, yes.
Oh, I think the list of people I do not want at my funeral is very short.
Well, I think for most people it would be.
So it would be easier to make the list of the people you don't
want. Well, I just think it's uncomfortable to think about, I guess.
There is a small list of people that I would tell my children, if that person shows up, kick them out.
Oh, I'd put it in the obit. You know me. I'd be like, and now that I'm no longer here, so-and-so and so-and-so, you know what you did. No. You know who you are. You are not invited to my little party.
Now, in fairness, they probably wouldn't want to show up anyway, right?
Well, just be sure. Double down on it.
Didn't show up in life.
Wow. Let's go to Alex and KCK. Hello, Alex.
Hey, interesting topic. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing really well, man. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Alex, go ahead.
Darn it, Alex, get to higher ground. I wanted to hear what he was going to say, which was that his father was transported to Sedona, one of my favorite places on earth, in a hearse, and it was like some 135 miles. You have to pay extra for that? I bet you do. I bet it's like a tow truck. It's per mile.
Let me tell you something. As somebody who had to bury his father 26 years ago, when you're in the funeral procession, you're not paying attention to who's pulling over and who's not.
I agree.
You're in such shock, you couldn't care less.
Yeah, I agree. So you were talking about who you want to come to your funeral and who you don't. Mindy has taken this one step further. And one night we were all out and she's like, well, I know all of the songs I want played at my funeral. What are yours? And we were like, What are you talking about? And by the way, she has ruined a song for me because now every time it comes on the radio, I'm like, there's the Mindy Death song. It's Let Your Love Flow. She goes, I just want everyone to let their love flow and we'll stand up in the church and you all just dance out of the church. I go, first of all, no one's going to be dancing and singing and smiling at your funeral. And second of all, you've ruined that song for me.
I could build both of your guys' funeral soundtracks right now.
Sam. It gets worse.
Because I know what song I want played at my funeral.
We're a couple of glasses of wine in, maybe three. I don't know if we'll have time. And she says, I want your funeral songs. Give them to me now. I said, I will not do that. And she goes, I want you to tell me right now, what are your songs? I'm going to put it in my notes in my phone. And then forever, if something happens to you, we will know what songs you want. And this was like 2 years ago, by the way. If she still has that list, that's going
to
be morbid.
So I want to be cremated, but I do want to be put in the ground. Like, whatever.
Why would you waste space and dirt and all of that stuff if you're ashes anyway?
Because it's just a tiny little urn, and you just put it in the ground. I'm not taking up 6 feet.
That's like putting on a condom and then not having sex.
Excuse me? That didn't make any sense at all.
You are doing something for no reason, for an outcome that has no reason.
So, Sam, what song do you think I want to play to my funeral?
Well, it's going to open up with Detroit Rock City.
Stop it.
And then we're going to go into, it's going to fade seamlessly into It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll.
Here's what I want to play to my funeral. You ready? Is my audio up?
It is.
Okay.
So alive.
Very funny. Okay. And no, I'm not playing soundtrack. I'm Alive.
I want I'm Alive by Lovin' Rockets.
Let me ask her. Hey, we're talking about your dead funeral song. Did you still keep the list of songs I want you to play at my funeral, LOL? I'm telling you, she was adamant about it.
What song do you want to play to your funeral?
Well, I'm trying to remember what it was that I told her.
You don't remember? Were you drunk?
We were drinking at the time. And then she was like, no, we're going to do this right now. We're going to do it right now. And I was like, well, now I feel put on the spot. I think Willie Nelson, Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground. I love that song so much. She would have to look it. She's the one that put it in her notes that I bet she can't find anymore. It's been years since we had that discussion.
What song you want to play to your funeral, Sam?
I will remember
Shut up.
Lame.
Wait, what about Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On?
That's lame.
So I'll grab the recorder and be like.
It doesn't sound anything like it.
And now, please enjoy this live musical performance by Dana Wright. And then,
no, here's mine.
And then Celine Dion just comes in with the recorder.
Nice.
Oh, God, she kept it. Look.
Here, let me see it.
Hang on. She kept it. Oh, my God. She kept it. She says, of course I kept it. Does a bear blank in the woods? This is my funeral song. Okay. I cannot believe, A, she kept that in her notes. Let's go back and see when you open it. Funeral songs.
Oh,
Okay, this was August 13th, 2021. She made our funeral. I can't believe you kept this.
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes!
Okay, of course I kept it. What are you, crazy? Everybody should have this.
What'd she say?
I mean, remember what I said? Like, they're so depressing, funerals, and at the end, everybody walks out sad, and, like, the casket's going, but not at mine. All of a sudden, it's going to go, bam, da-da-nair, nair.
What's it going to sound like?
And then everybody will be happy and remember that I was a fun-loving, life-loving person.
Mindy, can I be honest with you?
Legitimately cannot believe you kept that 3 years. Because when I go into my notes, it's like words I don't understand in a sequence that makes no sense.
Yeah, but you also don't read the directions on an Instapot. So, I mean, let's be honest.
Fair point. Fair point.
So
I mean,
accurate.
Am I right?
So accurate.
Okay, so I'm loading up yours, okay?
Yeah.
And
Bellamy brother.
Clearly, it's let you, I've already let the it. Let your love flow out of the bag.
You guys both ruined it.
No, I just told her that's the one. Boom, boom.
It is the Bellamy brother. With your love.
No, I love that. That's great, Mindy.
It's not that we're going to be smiling and laughing.
Let your love flow. I mean, right? Let your love flow like a mountain spring.
Men, I will tell you, it's not that I'm going to be smiling and laughing, thinking of you hearing that song. I'm going to be cracking up that we've talked about this for so many years, and it'll make me laugh and think about all the conversations we've had that are so ridiculous. Like, what song do you want played at your funeral?
Stop right there. Listen to what you just said. That's why I have it. That's the whole point. You're going to be laughing and thinking of me and thinking of good memories, and that's what I want.
Okay.
I mean, only some little wants people to sit there sobbing.
Okay. We will let your love flow like a mountain spring, and I'm very proud of you, and I'm very touched that you kept my list, because I didn't even remember my list.
Your songs suck.
Oh, girl, I've got your list, and I've got some others. So, I mean...
No, you know, Mindy.
I think Marlowe's is on there, if I remember right.
Mindy.
Oh, yeah.
Dana's list is terrible.
I know. Do you see, like, I have a bunch of question marks by it? Like, kind of like, are you sure? I don't know if she thought it through. I mean, I'd like to give you some time to edit that, if you'd like.
Angel flying too close to the ground?
Well, I love Willie Nelson, and I thought we were playing sad songs. You know, to me, I want everyone being, you know, like, oh my God, I can't believe she's gone. She was so great. And then maybe laughing at the end. And so I chose, like, meaningful slow songs.
But Skyline Pigeon, Live from Moscow by Elton John?
Yes, fly on, Skyline Pigeon, fly. Like, wait, I'm flying.
But the Live from Moscow?
I encourage you to rethink this towards, like, having fun. Like, you know, upbeat. I mean, I wouldn't call you a Debbie Downer.
See, Mindy, I want to weird everybody out. That's why I'm going with Love and Rockets So Alive.
Maybe a little bit of Simply Red.
See,
if you don't know me by now.
Okay, not if you do not know.
People are going to start thinking about their funeral song. Let's take charge of that service.
Okay.
Starting now.
We'll start a business called I'm dead, what would everyone like to hear.com.
That's a little long.
I'm sure that URL is available if you go to GoDaddy right now.
Well, I'm going to leave you two with this. Let your love flow to all living things. Because that is...
I love you so much.
Okay.
And I'm laughing.
You.
I'm
goodbye.
Laughing. Please don't die.
Goodbye, Mindy.
You.
Don't die. Yeah, you can play this one, my funeral, Sam. Another one bites the dust.
It's going to be the opening song.
As you're wheeling in my kiss urn.
Mm-hmm.
Coco Gauff has also been named as a flag bearer for the U.S. Olympic team. She will march alongside LeBron James with the flag front and center at Friday's event.
Where's Snoop Dogg in all this?
He's lighting. I was wrong yesterday. He's not lighting the main torch. He's lighting one of the torches that leads to the main torch.
I laughed when you thought that only because I feel like the Olympics are in Paris. Yep.
Which is in England.
And if one were to light a torch in Paris, they probably would not choose a rapper from the United States who is popular. Don't get me wrong. It's probably going to be a Parisian.
Who is lighting? Do we know who is lighting the main torch?
No, that's always a big, huge reveal and surprise.
It wasn't in 1996 with Muhammad Ali.
Now, he is running one of the final legs.
He is running one of the final legs.
Yogging.
But he is not going to be Paris's torch lighter. It's going to be one of their premier athletes. Or can you imagine when the Olympics were here? Last time, what was that, Salt Lake? I don't even remember. If we had chosen like Cristiano Ronaldo to light the torch, people would be like, what?
World's most famous athlete.
Well, I know, but it's when you are hosting the Olympics, I guarantee you the Olympian lighting the final torch is going to be from the country that is hosting.
Did you hear the Salt Lake has won the 2034 Winter Olympics?
Okay.
Announced today.
That's fine, but how dirty are the Olympics? I mean, could we just be honest with respect to the bidding and
no more dirty than the World Cup.
There have been all kinds of documentaries about that, about all of the back room backstabbing. And I'm just saying,
except for when we get it,
except when it's us,
then it's not dirty.
Clean as a whistle.
But hasn't Salt Lake done this a few times? And did they keep their infrastructure? Is that why?
I'm assuming they did. And keep in mind, Salt Lake was not the original site for the 2002 Winter Olympics. They got it on. Sam, can you look that up? Salt Lake was the alternate site.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken.
So then what happened at the 11th hour? You know what I'm saying? Unless they kept all the infrastructure, which I doubt they did. I mean, we've talked about this on the program.
Right.
All of the old haunted
Olympic sites
that the earth has taken back.
Right, which is why you need to hold them in cities that already have the infrastructure.
I agree,
i.e. Los Angeles, which has stadiums and tracks.
Where was the one, Sam, where it looks like Chernobyl now?
Oh,
they had all of the luge stuff built. And it's not in America, of course.
Sochi.
Not Sochi.
It is so creepy.
Norway. When it was held.
Lillehammer?
Lillehammer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, China built all of theirs in the middle of an industrial park.
And
so
it
when the camera would pan back, you would just see a ski slope that was built on stilts.
And it showed.
In the middle of an industrial park.
Right, I forgot about that.
And Salt Lake City is a big winter destination every year anyway.
Yeah.
The mountains haven't moved.
Salt Lake was the first pick in 2002. They beat out Quebec, Sion, Switzerland, and Östersund, Sweden.
I swear I thought it was an alternate site. Hmm. And they brought in Mitt Romney, and he kind of organized
he was part of the whole
thing.
Push, but yeah,
I'm glad it's coming back. I'm glad we have it. I just think it's going to be someone from Paris lighting the Paris torch.
Okay, we'll find out during the news break. Dan Weinbaum has the news coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.